Philippians 3 and verse 10 in our reading just jumps out to me as Paul is talking about kind of his life and what he's done and where he's come from and how he was a Hebrew among Hebrews and he counts all things for loss. And then verse 10 he says, all of this is important, but what I really want to know is to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want you to think about that phrase in our topic this morning is knowing the power of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, and if we had time, we'd do a whole lesson there, but I don't have time to do two lessons in one this morning, so we'll go back, but I want to reference that to you. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says on that occasion that the whole of Christianity is placed on this one fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If there is no resurrection, then we of all people are the most to be pitied in all of the world. But because there is a resurrection, we might be resurrected. If there is no resurrection, he wasn't resurrected and we're not going to be resurrected. And the death is the best thing you have going for you if there is no resurrection. So Paul looks at all that he said. He comes, he's grown up in the Jewish faith. He's been strongly taught. He knows that doctrine. He knows what he's been taught to believe. And depending on whether you're a Pharisee or Sadducee, depending on what your particular vent was on the resurrection and on angels and different things. But Paul says that I want to know the power of his resurrection. Have you ever had an occasion to see some powerful car and you think, boy, I'd like to get behind the wheel of that and feel the power of that car. I'm not much of a race car driver. That wouldn't be my illustration. But you think about that, how much power it takes. Paul said the power is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said the proof is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's an old hymn we used to sing, and I suppose still do, and some from time to time. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. I want you to know this morning the power of his resurrection. When we begin to think about the power of our faith, what's it based in? And some say, well, Jesus was born of a virgin, and that's important, and it proves that he is the Son of God and Messiah that was prophesied. Perhaps you say the power of his miracles, and those indeed were impressive, and no one could do the miracles like Jesus could. Only the Holy Spirit imparted to the apostles were able to even come close. Maybe you say it's his great teaching, and indeed he taught as no other. He was a teacher who could get to the truth no matter who he talked to, whether the scholars or the farmer or the fisherman. But Paul said in his search, I want to know the power of his resurrection. And the power of his resurrection is found in many places in the Bible. The first thing that I want to look at is the power of a living hope. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want to ask you a question. I just want you to think about this. Have any of you ever felt hopeless before, depressed and down in your life? Maybe it has to do with a relationship. Maybe it has to do with your job. Maybe it has to do with your faith. Maybe it has to do with somebody sick. Would you just feel like I can't go another step of the way? I can't go another mile of the way. I can't go any further. I'm just ready to give up. Jesus has power in hope. And I want you to look at the scripture with me as we begin to talk about the power of this living hope that's given to us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, remember, Paul is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it's almost unbelievable when you read scripture how well the perfect mosaic of the scripture fits together. So Peter starts out saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It is right there. We are born again to be hopeful. We are born again to know this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? He says we have this living hope. We've been begotten again to this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You see, because Jesus rose, we know that we too can rise again. The resurrection was witnessed on so many different occasions. On one occasion by more than 500 brethren at one time. The resurrection is not a did it happen. It's a proved fact of history that the resurrection exists. He says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance which is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Salvation is coming. I don't know my last day upon the planet, and you don't either. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, and you don't either. I can't tell you in my own lifetime how many times I've heard the prophecies, and one just a few months ago, that it's going to be the end of the world because the red moon and the something other and the eclipse and the this and that. We're still here. But I believe there's one day He's going to call us home. I believe there's one day that this world will pass away and the former things will pass away and all the things that we know. And that's why I want to know the power of His resurrection. The power of His resurrection is the hope that there is a place beyond this world where the former things are passed away, where all things are made new, where every tear shall be wiped away from their eyes. That's a promise to us. Paul said it this way in Romans 15 and verse 13. He said, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Christianity is not a religion that is hopeless. It is one that provides hope. It gives a reason for living and a reason for existing and a reason for going beyond where we are right now. We are supposed to hope, and hope means confidently believe that there's a better day coming. There's a better place coming. There's a better relationship coming when we will see Jesus face to face. When we will stand before the throne of God throughout the ages. And when our song service will be greater than any song service you've ever heard on this earth. For all the saints of all time will stand before Him because of the power of His resurrection. Because of the power of His resurrection, I have hope. And so should you. The Bible talks about that kind of hope over and over again. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, Paul said, "If you continue in faith, grounded and steadfast and not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature of heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." I want you to think about the gospel as not a God's going to send you to hell, but God's trying to send you to heaven. I want you to think about the gospel as a gospel that's not trying to burden you, but bless you. I want you to understand what God has to offer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 13. Remember, He's talking to the church at Thessalonica, and He said, "I'm remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and the patience of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God the Father." I have hope because Jesus came, because He lived, because He died, because He rose again, and because He said, "Where I'm going, I'm going to come back and I'm going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you should be also," in the very midst of them. In John chapter 14, the first 3 or 4 or 5 verses there, Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me." The gospel is a gospel of hope. Paul said we have that hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I want you to hear kind of the reverse of that when he says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who fall asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." Isn't that the saddest verse you've ever heard? There are people that have no hope. Outside of Christ, there is no hope. Outside of His resurrection, there is no hope. When I look at that verse, it hurts my soul to think that there are people who don't have the hope that I have and that you have today. There are people out there in the world who believe the best thing they have is a good funeral coming. That's a sad thought. But there are people who don't have any hope. You know, I didn't know how much I believe that, but if you've talked to very many people about what happens to death, there are a lot of people who believe that when it's over, it's over. I've attended, I don't know how many deaths that took place as I was visiting in the home or the hospital. I don't know what I would say if I couldn't say, you know, there's hope that we'll be joined again. I don't know how I'd feel if I didn't say, because of Jesus, it doesn't end here. Because He rose from the dead, so can we. That's the promise of the resurrection. But when I look at the power of His resurrection, I see the power of changed lives. And I just ask you, how many of you have come to a place in your life that you know there needs to be change, or that there was a need to change? A place where you don't live for yourself forever, but you live for something much more important. I have the privilege of being at some of the most happy and blessed moments of people's lives because of what I do. It's always a pleasure to be at a wedding of two young Christian people who have all the world before them. And they say, my life is so wonderful. And then they have children come into the world. Oh, what a responsibility, but what a joy to, you know, I just can't imagine what it would be not to have my children and my grandchildren. And you feel the same way if you've been there. And if you're not there yet, you'll get there. And you realize that they give a hope to you that's beyond anything that you have. And there's a power there. You'll move mountains for your family, for your children. You're the child of God. He gave us the power to become the sons and daughters of God Himself. And that gives us the power to change our lives. And to be honest with you, since we were all sinners without hope, we need a way to change. The only way to do that is through the blood of Jesus. Can't do it on my own. I can try to drop this and stop that and all that kind of stuff, but I cannot truly change without the power of a resurrected Jesus in my life. Romans chapter 4 and verse 24 beginning. Paul said, God will credit righteousness for us who believe in Him who raised from our Lord from the dead. That's the resurrection. Notice it. And He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The resurrection was not for Him. It was for us. The resurrection was to give us a new life. The question is, are we going to live the new life? Are we going to accept the gift? 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is very explicit. He's talking about those who are still in the world, but he wants to say something to the church and in Corinth. He starts off by saying, don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. And he gives a list here, and I want you to listen to this list. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I want you to listen to that list, but I want you to listen to the next verse because it is eminently important. He says, and such were some of you. Don't worry so much about them. Look at yourself, where you've come from. You've been changed because of a resurrected Christ. By the way, I think what he's getting at is you better leave the door open for those who still need changing. He says you were changed and he says you were washed. Folks, when you're baptized into Jesus Christ, you wash away your sins. You were washed, you were sanctified, set apart, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. That happens because He rose again. Because we serve a risen Savior, lives are changed by the power of the resurrected Christ. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, it's the Apostle Paul again speaking. He said, but God be thanked, though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. And having been set free from sins, you became slaves of righteousness. Free from sin to serve righteousness, to do right. And if you've looked at this old world lately, it needs more righteousness, and that's the hope of the church. That's the mission of the church. And it can only be done because 3 days later the tomb was empty. Because when they came to the tomb, the angel said, He's not here, but He is risen. That's why we're here today. And that's what gives us the power to change our lives to be more as He would have us to be. Titus in chapter 3, starting in verse 3, he says, but we ourselves were also once foolish. Amen? That's us. Disobedient, deceiving, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That describes where we've been. By the way, even if you grew up as a Christian, you've been struggling with some of this stuff. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, towards men appeared, not by righteous works which we have done, but according to His mercy, His death, burial, and resurrection, He saved us. Through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The power to change is not in me. Power to change is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please understand how important this is. It's not just because He died, because there are a lot of people who've died. It's not just because He was buried, because a lot of people who have been buried. But there is only Jesus Christ who lives forever, having been raised to sit at the right hand of God. I know Lazarus was raised, but Lazarus died again. Jesus is alive, and He's in His heaven with the Father. And that gives me hope. That gives me power to change and to be who He wants me to be. But there's one other thing that stands out because of the power of His resurrection, and that's the power of judgment to come. You know, people don't like to think about judgment, but there's a day coming that we're going to meet God, and that we're going to have to give an account for the things done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're evil. That's coming. And people will talk about, and Peter talked about this, how people say, well, it's all the same since the beginning, and said they're willfully ignorant of the flood. God's judged His people before. But there's a day when this planet's going to come to a close, and there's going to be a time of judgment. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, Paul's been up on Mars Hill, and he's talking about all these different gods and the unknown gods, and how they've worshipped gods there in Athens. And he finally says, so truly the times of this ignorance God winked at are overlooked, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Look at verse 31. Because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He's ordained, and He's given assurance to all by raising Him from the dead. The power of resurrection says Jesus is coming back, and Jesus is the judge. He's come as your Savior. He's coming back as your judge. And you say, well, I'm not good enough. And I say, amen, you're not. Neither am I. Neither is anybody. That's why a resurrected Lord must be on my side. Not only can He be my judge, but He can be my lawyer too. You see, He's the one that pleads my case to the Father because death did not have power over Him. He is the Son of the Almighty God. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 says, but in accordance with the hardness of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of our God. There's a day coming. The songwriter said, there's a great day coming. There's a sad day coming. And depending on what we believe about the resurrection is going to determine whether it's a great day or a sad day for each one of us. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body according to whatever we've done, good or bad. There's a day coming. The only hope I have is that my sins are washed away, where He'll remember them no more. And He has the power to do that because death couldn't hold Him, because the resurrection says He is risen. He is Messiah. He is Son of God. He is Savior. He is the perfect sacrifice, and He died for my sins. The question is, will I lay my sins at the cross, or will I fail to do that? I like what Paul said as he writes Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Paul's looking at the end of his journey. He says, finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love His appearing. I want to be honest with you. As I talk to people, there are a lot of people who do not love His appearing. There are a lot of people who are afraid that if Jesus were to come back today, I'm not ready. There are a lot of people who are scared of His appearing. If today the trumpets would sound and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, if this building split apart and Jesus came back in judgment, how many of us could say, come quickly, Lord Jesus? Because that's the power of the resurrection. That's the power of the risen Lord. And if we're not ready, it's not because heaven hasn't done all that it can do. If we're not ready, there's only one place to look, and it's in the mirror. Jesus died for your sins, and on the third day, after being put in a barred tomb, He rose again because death had no power over Him. Satan has no power over Him. The power of His resurrection in the time to come for all eternity. 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says again, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 7, the heavens and earth which are preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the day of judgment. There is a day of judgment. We're not just going to cease to exist and everything be over. There's a day coming when Jesus is coming back to claim His own. And if you haven't experienced the power of the resurrection, you know He gave us a symbol where we could actually go through the resurrection process. As a believer, when you repent and confess His name before men, you change your way of life. When you are baptized, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, we are baptized in the likeness of His death, and we are raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And when we are raised in the power of that resurrection, our sins are gone. You may commit new sin, but the old sin is gone. But if you'll walk in the light as He is in light, The blood of His Son continues to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The question is, do you really want to know the power of His resurrection? Because Paul did, and because I do, and because I want to tell you, there is no greater power that gives me hope that I too will be a part of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you. If we can help you obey the gospel, if you want to be baptized into Christ as a believer who's repented of sins and ready to confess His name, then we'll assist you in the baptism and you raised to be walk a faithful life. And if you haven't been faithful, if you need to come home, the resurrection is too important not to be a part of. If we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?